just no telling what the Lord might do. Brother Mike, you preach to us. Love you.
Love you, Brother Steve. Appreciate you being your invitation always to come to camp meeting. I'm thankful for the grace of God that I know I am saved by grace. If I had to earn it, I couldn't get in. If I had to buy it, I couldn't have got in. If I'd had to have anything accrediting me for it, I wouldn't have made it. But I'm saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Appreciate the good preaching. We've already heard a great message today. I thank God for that. Appreciate Miss Penny and the good singing that was done. It's amazing to me she never gets any older. She's the same. She's kind of like the Lord. She's the same yesterday and today. And, well, thank God 100 years from now she'll be Miss Penny. Amen. But I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I want you to turn with me back one page from where we started a while ago in 1 Kings chapter 17. Brother Jones, not the same verse, but one chapter back. We had the occasion, Brother Jones and I, preaching together down South Carolina, and the Lord led me to one verse. I preached on that verse, and he came up behind me and preached on the same verse. Totally different message. But God. 1 Kings 17, and verse number 8, the Bible said, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I might go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Father, I pray now you'd bless us. Oh, how I pray the Holy Ghost of God might unctionize us for the hour in which we live. Lord, we want to be a blessing. We want to be an encouragement. We want to be used of God. Lord, if I know my heart, I want to just serve the Lord today, to magnify him because he alone is worthy. I pray you'd help us to be a blessing, an encouragement to the people of God. May your will be done in every heart and every life here today. We realize, God, that it's all about Jesus. It's all about him that died that we might live. It's all about the final sacrifice for sin that was made on the cross of Calvary. It's all about our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord, that is coming soon to get us. God, how I pray you'll touch us and make us to be a blessing now. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. So from my heart, I try to preach to you for a few minutes on the thought, when God turns your worst day into your best day. When God turns your worst day into your best day. Hear this prophet Elijah. Bible tells us that when we first introduced to him, it's called Elijah the Tishbite. He just comes out of nowhere almost. First thing we hear of him is Elijah the Tishbite. But It's evident he's been alone with God. It's evident that God's been speaking to him. It's evident by his testimony and by the life that he's living that God is using him and God is doing something with him, even though everybody else has turned their back on God and everybody else is serving Baal, everybody else is doing something different. They're changing their religion. They're changing their society. They're changing their way of worship. They're changing their book. They're changing their songs. They're changing everything about what's going on. I'm glad there was one who was still faithful to God, who still was in touch with God, and who was serving the Lord from the best that he knew how by according to the Word of God. Here Elijah hears from heaven, and he says, you go and tell them, it's not going to rain till I say so. It's not going to rain till I say so. Well, can you imagine how mad the people got over that? Can you imagine how difficult it was going to be for the prophet of God then when they weren't going to listen to anything he had to say because they were already mad at him? So God took him down by the brook Cherith and he said, I want you to stay here. I'm hiding you out down here. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to have the ravens bring you bread and meat every morning and bread and meat every night, and you're going to drink out of the brook, and I'm going to take care of you that way. God still got a way. Blessed be God, to take care of his people. Even in 2017, when the world is turning against Christianity, when the world wants nothing to do with our Jesus, when it's hard to get people to hear what thus saith the Word of God, I'm glad we serve a God that is still able to take care of his children. Down by the brook, Elijah was a-doing good. And the power of God was upon him. And nobody could hurt him and nobody could find him. The ravens were bringing him meat every morning and every night. You can't beat God's hamburgers. No way you fix them. God was, glory to God, God was taking care of him. But the day came when the brook dried up. When the brook dried up, he couldn't drink out of the water of the brook anymore. And so he didn't get panicky. He didn't run off. He didn't try to compromise. He didn't try to blend in with society. He didn't go back and apologize to them for the famine that they were in because he had listened to what God had to say, and it still wasn't time for him to say, it's going to rain. Amen. The fire was not ready to fall yet. There were still some things that needed to be done. But the word of the Lord came to him again. Amen. If you'll listen, he'll talk to you today. If you'll read what the Word of God has to say, he'll talk to us even today. If you'll let him, the Holy Ghost of God will bring a new part of the Word of God to your heart. You may have read it 1,000 times already, but God will take it and bring it into your heart afresh and anew, and it'll encourage you, and it'll strengthen you, and it'll enable you to go another day for the glory of God. The word of the Lord came to him and said, I want you to go down to Zarephath. I've prepared a widow woman down there to sustain thee. Go on down. And so he left Cherith and he came down to Zarephath. And when he got there, before he ever got into the city, there he met a woman out gathering sticks. She was gathering sticks that she might go in, build a fire, take that last little bit of meal and that last little bit of oil and prepare a meal for her and her son. And she said, it's going to be our last meal. We're going to eat it and die because of this famine, because of the changes, because of all that's going on. We got no hope for tomorrow. She said, you, your Lord and your God, the Lord thy God. She didn't say it was hers. Hello? The Lord thy God. He said, I tell you what. Bring me a little water to drink. Well, that didn't seem too big a problem. She headed in the direction to get some water. I don't know where she was going to get it from. It hadn't rained in 2 years now. And she said, she headed to get some water. He said, but, and by the way, while you're going, bring me a little morsel of bread to eat. And there he crossed the line. She didn't have any bread, and she wasn't looking to get any. We've come to a time in our churches today that we got our four, but we don't want no more. We got just a little bit of bread. We got just a little enough money to pay the light bill and to keep the insurance paid and keep the preacher coming and keep things interesting. And so we don't want to do any better. We just want to sell up on God and set by and let the world go to hell. Amen. We've quit running our buses. We've quit going on visitation. We've quit. I had one preacher tell me, he said, we can't go and visit in our community anymore. We're afraid we'll get shot. Amen. And here we are. Elijah said, bring me that little morsel of bread. Bring me some water. She said, I can't. I'm going to take what we've gotten. Fixed for me and my son is going to be our last meal. It's the worst day she's ever lived. It's the worst situation she's ever been in. Can you imagine how she felt? She's a widow woman. Her husband's dead, and now it's just her and her boy, and there's a famine in the land, and she has no hope of tomorrow. It's the worst day she's ever had. We're going to eat our last meal and die. Elijah said, but I got good news for you. My Lord, my God has said, if you'll do like I've told you, you'll be able to go back in there and find things that you did not know, exceeding abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. I serve a God that is able to take care of us no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, no matter what else, glory to God, may be going on. God's able. That's a good amen for about 11 people. God's able. I said God's able. Look at your neighbor there and say, my God's able. My God's able. He can. And not only can he, but he will. He's able to take care of us. She went back in. She fixed Elijah a little piece of fixed him a biscuit. Amen. And I'm sure he wished she had some ham that she could have put in it, but she didn't. She fixed him a biscuit and brought him some water. And she gave it to him, and she went back in. And sure enough, when she got back in there for her and her son, she reached down in that barrel. Last time she was there, she thought she got everything there was in it. But when she got back this time, she reached back in, got down to the bottom of her barrel, went right down into the top of the Lord's barrel. And she got another handful, and she brought it out. Well, if that's good, I'll try it again. She goes over to the cruse of oil, and she picks it up, and it feels just like it did the last time she picked it up. And she poured it over that meal, and she set it down. And the Bible said God turned her worst day into her best day because she listened to what God had to say, and she followed the wisdom of the Word of God. If we'd get back to what God said instead of what man said, if we'd quit reading Dr. Doodle Digger's books and read what God wrote, we'd find out God's still able. I think about a man by the name of Jairus. Some call him Jairus. I don't know how you get that. But Jairus was a leader in the synagogue, had a 12-year-old girl. The apple of his eye, his heart throb. They took her to every doctor in town. They'd taken her everywhere they knew to. This man was a respectable he was a respectable man, and he had good wisdom. He wasn't just given that job in the synagogue. He'd been elected to it. People respected him. They knew he was a good daddy. And yet his daughter grew worse day by day. They did everything they knew to do. They took her to the doctor. They took her to the priest. They took her to every psychiatrist and every psychologist there was. And yet she grew worse and worse. Finally, it came to the fact, we got to have some help. If we don't get something done, our daughter's going to die. There was nothing that, glory to God. If we don't get to Jesus, if we don't get to Dr. Jesus, if we don't get our children to Him, they're going to die lost without God. If we don't get our grandchildren to Jesus, they're going to die and split hell wide open. She heard, he went down, he said, I hear that Jesus is a passing by. I'm sure his wife said, oh, you mean that Nazarene that goes about doing good? Yeah, that's the one I've heard about. He's the one, and when he comes into a situation, the blind go away, seeing the deaf go away, hearing the dumb go away, talking the lame go away, walking the dead even come to life again. She said, maybe we need to get him to come to our house. He said, I believe that's the only hope we've got. Glory to God. Jesus is the only hope we've got for America. Jesus is the only hope we've got for our homes. Jesus is the only hope we've got for the future. He went down. Jesus was walking through town. There was a crowd all around him, a pushing and a shoving and a trying to get to where the Lord was. Everybody wanted to see him. Everybody wanted to hear from him. Everybody wanted a piece of him. But the Bible said Jairus fell on his knees before the master and said, Lord, I got this little girl, the apple of my eye. She's my heartthrob, and she is sick unto death. If you'll come home with me, I believe she'll be all right. If you'll come home, lay your hands on her, I believe she'll be okay. It was the worst day he's ever had. He realized his daughter was a-dying, but he didn't know how close that death was. Anybody here know that you're only one breath away from eternity? Amen. We're only one breath away from death. David said, there is but a step between me and death. Jesus agreed. The Bible says that he was going home with Jairus until one from Jairus' house came and said, there's no use in you bothering the master any longer. Your daughter's already dead. It's too late. Imagine how his heart sunk when he fell back to the ground again, realizing he'd waited too long. Realizing that all hope was gone now. Worst day he's ever had. That little 12-year-old girl is dead. What's he going to do now? Jesus said, only believe. Every miracle you stand in need of, only believe. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. That's a little heavy for some Baptists. But it's in the King James Bible. And if it's in a King James Bible, God said it, and that's the way it is, whether you believe it or not. Only believe. Jairus' faith was rekindled. Hope was reborn. I believe he took him by the hand and said, this way, Lord, this way. And he took him on to his house. And when he got there, there was great big to-do going on. People weeping and crying. Spending their tears, hot tears running down their face. That 12-year-old girl, that precious little girl was dead. Jesus said, why make you this ado and weep? The little girl's not dead. She's just asleep. Remember, this was not some itinerant preacher coming through town. Remember, Benny Hinn was not making a visit here. This was God in flesh that had come. He said, if you're not going to believe, then you're not going to receive. So all of you just go on about your business. I've got some business to take care of. He takes Peter, James, and John, the sons of thunder, on into the room with him, takes mom and dad. He goes over by the bed. He reaches down, takes a hold of that little 12-year-old girl's hand, and he says, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. She was graveyard dead. The mortician was standing awaiting. But the upper taker took her by the hand, and she sat up in the middle of the bed, and she opened those black eyes, and she looked around, and she grinned at everybody. While Daddy was making a lap around the room, she wondered why everybody was so excited. God turned his worst day into his best day. I think about a fellow by the name of Bartimaeus who'd been blind from birth, never been able to see anything. Somebody had always had to take him down where he was going. They always had to lead him. They always had to help him. Somebody else had to do for him. He went down to the street corner. Probably the same person had led him down there many times. He sat down on the street corner, took his little cup, and he began to dangle it back and forth and beg alms of the people as they passed by, that somebody might show some compassion, that somebody might show him some love and some care and drop a little something in there to help sustain his life. Same thing happened. He goes down to the street corner, sits down there, and he's wringing his little cup when he hears a noise. I'm sure he said, "What meaneth this noise? What's going on? What do I hear?" Somebody said, "Well, it's Jesus of Nazareth and his disciples. They're passing by this way." Jesus of Nazareth? You mean the one that goes about doing good? The one that I've heard so much about? The one that is all the time healing folks? The one that's all the time telling good things, and all good things are happening because of him passing through? Yeah, that's the one. He stood to his feet and said, "Jesus! Jesus, have mercy on me!" Those that had brought him down there, those standing around, looked at him and said, "Bartimaeus, sit down and shut up. You're just an old blind man. He ain't got time to fool with you. You're just an old blind beggar. This guy's got more important things to do. He's on an important journey right now, and he ain't got time to fool with you. Why would he, glory to God, why would he want to come by where you are? Why would he want to look where you are? Why would he want, glory to God, go and sit there if you want to. I can have a spell by myself. Why would he want to be where you are? What about you would entice him to come by? Jesus, oh Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Worst days ever lived. They're telling him to be quiet. They're telling him to sit down and shut up. They're telling him that God ain't got no use for him. That's exactly what the devil will try to do to everybody. You hang around with the devil's crowd and they'll get you out to, and you can't even try to find the church anymore. You won't want to be a part of what goes on at the church when the devil crowd gets into influencing you and telling you how bad things are and how big the hypocrites are and how bad everything is over there. You won't want to have anything to do with them. But the Bible said that Jesus stopped. That Jesus stopped in the road. And he looked in his direction. Blind Bartimaeus didn't know what had happened. He couldn't see it. "I once was blind, but now I see. I didn't know how far away from hell I was. I didn't understand. I didn't comprehend till Jesus come and stopped by where I was and stood at the end of the pew and knocked on my heart's door and gave me faith to believe and gave me joy to see that he was what I needed." They said, "Bartimaeus, he's calling for you. Take me to him. Take me to him. The best day I've ever had is when somebody took me to where he was. Glory to God. When somebody took the word of God and took me to where Jesus was, that I could believe and that I could receive him for myself." They took Bartimaeus over and he stood him in front of the Lord. Jesus looked at him and Bartimaeus couldn't see anything. But Jesus said, "What would you have me to do unto thee?" It's amazing what folks want God to do for them. A whole lot of things that don't mean nothing. But to Bartimaeus, this meant everything. "Lord, that I might receive my sight. That I..." Glory to God. "Do you believe I can do this?" "Yeah, Lord. From what I've heard about you, there ain't nothing too hard for you. From what I've heard about you, there's not a problem anybody's got that you can't handle. Yeah, Lord, I believe. Then be it unto thee even as thy faith." And he who had never seen anything, who did not know what a tree looked like, who did not know what a flower looked like, who did not know what an animal was, First thing he's ever seen was when his eyes opened up this time. He looked into the face of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There he stood before the maker of everything that there is. It ain't no wonder to me he got so excited as they went on down the road, he's a hopping and a skipping and a telling everybody, "Hey, look where I am. Look what I'm a doing. Look where I'm a going. Look who I'm with." One more and I'm done. I think about a woman caught in the very act of adultery. Jesus is in the midst and he's teaching. The incarnate word is deciphering himself to those standing around about him. They bring a woman that is caught in adultery. They throw her down in the midst of him. And they said, "She's caught in the very act of adultery. Moses says stone her. But what do you say?" And they were trying to tempt him to say something that they could turn it against him. The Bible said Jesus didn't answer them. But he bent down and took his finger and he wrote on the ground. And they got a little antsy. They got anxious. They got agitated. All of them began to pick up a rock, put it in their hand, get ready to throw it. This woman was totally convicted. She was guilty. She was going to get exactly what she deserved according to the law of Moses. If I'd got what I deserved, I'd be in hell right now. Thank God I didn't get what I deserved. The Bible said Jesus looked at them and said, "Those among you that have no sin or without sin, you go ahead and cast the first stone." Mm-hmm. Those among you that have no sin, that there's no sin in your life, you go ahead and you begin to do what Moses said do. You take your life. And then Jesus bent down and wrote on the ground again. One by one, they dropped their rocks and they walked away, realizing that there's none of us righteous, no, not one. That we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. After a while, Jesus looked at her and said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" Wasn't nobody there right then but him and her. Everybody else had left. As she looked through her tears, "I have none, Lord." Turned her worst day into her best day. She was guilty as she could be. But he said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I'm glad he's still able to turn our best day, our worst day, into our best day. Preacher, I'm done.